Amen.
And now it is preaching time.
Amen.
I have the honor of introducing our preacher of the hour. Her name is Reverend Deborah Lengths. She serves as an associate dean of religious life and a chaplain at the chapel. She came to Princeton University in 1997 after having served at Brown University as an assistant university chaplain. Prior to her entry into the world of university chaplaincy, she served as an active duty United States Navy chaplain for over a decade. She earned a Master's of Theology degree at Princeton Theological Seminary, a Master's of Divinity from Interdenominational Theological Seminary in Atlanta, Georgia, and a BA in Political Science from Rutgers University Douglas College. Reverend Banks is an ordained minister in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And mostly what we need to know is that she is a child of God. So we will now hear from Reverend Deborah Lengths.
And all of God's people said,
amen. I'm extremely honored and privileged to be at this great church again at the invitation of the Reverend Darrell LaRue Armstrong.
Amen.
Reverend Armstrong is a distinguished clergyman, preacher, prophet, and teacher, and a brother friend.
Amen.
And so I'm privileged to be here at his invitation. I want to honor those who are on the pulpit, those who are in ministry and clergy who are leading this worship service, and to all of the fine people, officers, members, and friends of the Shiloh Baptist Church here in the great city of Trenton, New Jersey, our capital city. I want to thank Minister Holloway for hosting me and the young man who greeted me as I parked my car. So Reverend Armstrong has persons positioned all over. I greet you this day with the joy of the Lord. And I greet you with the Lord's joy because the psalmist says that in God's presence is fullness of joy. And at God's right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I greet you with the joy of the Lord because Nehemiah the governor and Ezra the priest declared that the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
I greet you with the Lord's joy because Peter in his first epistle writes about a joy unspeakable and full of glory. I greet you with the Lord's joy because Jesus prayed that his joy might be in us and that our joy might be complete. And I greet you in this joy because on Calvary, Jesus turned foolishness into wisdom, weakness into strength, and a cross of torture into a tree of life. And because of his great victory on our behalf over two millenniums ago, we come Sunday after Sunday to worship him in spirit and in truth. And though we cannot see him with human eyes or touch him with human hands, we dare to believe that he fills his temple even as he fills his people. And so we're here because we serve a living God who bids us to come, and that very God inhabits the praises of his people.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I get excited because I know that I know that I know that this God is alive.
Yes.
and taking care of business as it regards God's people. I am grateful again to be here. Always grateful for this great choir. This great choir, and this great church, and all of those fine young people with great report cards. That we're looking for you to come to a place like Princeton, or someplace like that. I want to lift up a familiar text for your hearing from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, beginning at verse 11 through verse 19. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. These words are written. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance. They called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan, a foreigner, someone of another race. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was not none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well," or the literal translation, "Your faith has saved you." Here ends the reading of God's word. Amen. Please bow with me for a word of prayer. Gracious and living God, we give you thanks and we give you praise for another day, a day that we have not seen before. And upon its conclusion, we'll never see it again. But we thank you that in these moments, we find ourselves in your house and in your presence. And we pray, O God, that even as we prepare to declare your word, that you would hide us behind the cross and keep us under the drippings of your blood, that your name might be praised. Speak through my mouth. Think through my mind. Anoint me anew and afresh by the power of your Spirit. And whatever you do, God, get the glory and the honor for yourself. Open the hearts of your people. And whatever you do and however you do it, we'll be careful to say that Jesus did it. For it's in his name and for his sake we pray. Amen. I want to preach this morning from the subject, "When Thanks Turns to Praise." When thanks turns to praise. Vivid memories stream into my consciousness when I reflect upon my growing up years in the Blanks household. That there were certain things that were sacrosanct in that family unit. There were certain realities that were non-negotiable. There were certain rules of etiquette that were the order of the day, every day. In my world, you were taught very early that you did not address adults by their first names. You had to put a handle on it and refer to persons who were seniors of in age as Mr. or Mrs. or Miss, Reverend or Doctor, and whatever their first or last names were. If friends called to speak to you on the telephone and an adult answered the phone, They were expected to inquire about the well-being of that adult before the phone was handed on to you. I remember calling a friend once, and I failed to inquire about how her mother was doing. You can believe me that her mother laid me out, spoke very passionately about the egregious oversight. I made a course correction immediately because that was an understood rule of etiquette. I was raised by two Southerners who were born and raised in South Carolina. My grandmother, Mamie Blanks, grew up in a small southern town of Hampton County, Estelle, South Carolina, 52 miles north of Savannah, Georgia, while my grandfather, Samuel Blanks, hailed from the capital city of Columbia. In the Blanks household, you were taught the importance of respecting your other elders, doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, honoring the humanity in people you knew well or were meeting for the very first time. I know this probably doesn't happen it much anymore, but in my grandmother's house, you could not iron on a Sunday. In fact, she cooked her dinner on Saturday evening because Sunday was the Lord's day. My grandparents spoke to us verbally and non-verbally, and you always received the communique with the understanding that you were being prepared to live in a larger world. With a particular look or expression on her face, my grandmother could get you back into line without saying a word. Like so many others, learning to say please and inevitably thank you were second nature. My cousin Trina and I knew that although we were being raised in North Jersey, in Newark, in the largest city in the state, an urban center, but within a family with urbane sensibilities, we knew that we could not get away with much, and ultimately we realized that what seemed like peculiar prerequisites helped in shaping our lives for our good and the good of others. Whenever I read this familiar passage from Luke's gospel, I am aware of the seeming absence of those basic rules of etiquette that I was taught so long ago. This pericope is captivating because it captures a living portrait of humanity at its best and seemingly at its worst. Jesus focuses attention on the nine who do simply what he told them to do, and that was to go and to show themselves to the priests. The law demanded that when the dreaded disease of leprosy was cured, that a priest declares one ritually clean, healed, and able to return to the community circle. They were doing what Jesus told them to do, following the rules. That their first encounter with Jesus is not to ask for healing of any kind, actually. No, they do not say to Jesus, heal us. Rather, their cry is an appeal for mercy. They say, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. Why mercy over healing? Healing is really what they wanted and what they needed. Maybe they knew something that we need to know, that it is the mercy of God that provides a comprehensive coverage over the essence of our existence. God's mercy grants something that far exceeds that which we could ever ask or think. It is the loving kindness, compassionate benevolence, blessing that is an act of divine favor. Mercy is given freely and fully. God does something for them and for us that we could not ever do for ourselves. God reaches across the chasm that separates us from full participation in the realm of life and responds to our need. Healing was what they most likely wanted, but mercy was what they needed. But the temptation is to be extremely harsh with the nine lepers that did not return to say those two all-important words that contain so much power. Scholars have pondered why the nine did not return. It is an interesting question that will emerge again and again whenever this text is preached. However, I'm much more interested in the one who did return. The one who received the mercy of God and could not contain his thanksgiving and his praise. He was with his fellow lepers and they were on their way to a new lease on life. But something strange and wonderful must have begun to happen as he was traveling towards the temple. His skin began to return to normal, to its natural color. Sores were healing. Blemishes were blotted out. The disease that had made him an outcast was being cured right before his eyes. Maybe he looked at his brothers and saw that they were being restored to health too. That they had lived together and he knew them intimately and knew the battle and war that they faced as members of the society that were untouchable and unclean. Yet in this moment was this amazing transformation. Something wholly other had taken place. It had to do with the mercy of God. I wonder, as we make our way through life and face some of the challenges and the struggles and the issues and the controversies that keep coming, I wonder, do we ever begin to see the ways in which God is moving incrementally in small but significant ways? That God is making a way, as the old folks would say, out of nowhere. And it causes us to stop in our tracks and turn around and go back to the altar or someplace. Friends, this leper runs back. I want to say he was doing a marathon kind of run. He runs back and he prostrates. He throws himself at the feet of Jesus. Now the scripture says that when he noticed what was happening to him, when he realized that his skin texture was coming back as it ought to be, that he begins first to praise God. He begins to praise God and he throws himself at the feet of Jesus. This Samaritan, this foreigner realized that his blessing had stirred something up within him. It was an indescribable desire to praise God. His thanks turns to praise. He could not help himself. Something deeper and more powerful had a hold upon him. That is exactly what needs to happen to those who dare say that they believe in a sovereign and a living God. Thank you is praise of the living and loving God that so envelops us. Praise is a form of worship, and worship is when you are aware that what you have been given is far greater than what you can give. Worship is the awareness that were it not for God's touch, we would still be hobbling and hurting, bitter and broken. Worship is the half-glazed expression on the parched face of a desert pilgrim as they discover that the oasis is not a mirage. Worship is the thank you that refuses to be silenced. The very first person to reach the status of billionaire in America was a man who knew how to set goals and follow through. At the age of 23, he had become a millionaire, and by the age of 50, a billionaire. Every decision, attitude, and relationship was tailored to create personal power and wealth. But 3 years later, at the age of 53, he became ill. His entire body was consumed with pain. He lost all his hair in complete agony. The world's only billionaire could buy anything he wanted, but could only digest milk and crackers. An associate wrote, he could not sleep, would not smile, and nothing in life meant anything to him. Here his personal, highly skilled physicians predicted he would die within a year. The year passed agonizingly slow, and as he approached an inevitable death, he awoke one morning with the vague remembrances of a dream. He could barely recall what it was, but it had something to do with not being able to take any of the successes with him into the next world. The man who controlled the world of business suddenly realized that he was not in control of his own life. He was left with a choice. He called his attorneys, accountants, and managers and announced that he wanted to channel his assets to hospitals, research, universities, and mission work. On that day, John Davison Rockefeller established his foundation. But perhaps the most amazing part of this story is that the moment he began to give back a portion of all that he earned, his body's chemistry was altered significantly, that he got better. It looked like he would die at 53, but he lived to age 98. Rockefeller learned gratitude and gave back from his wealth. Doing so made him whole. One could venture to say that most people will say thank you. But is that enough? Thanks that turns to praise is extravagant gratitude, joyful freedom, and a willingness to go beyond what is required. Thanks turns to praise when we acknowledge that the alarm clock may have gone off as scheduled, but it was the Almighty One who woke us up this morning. Thanks turns to praise when we realize that the reasonable portion of health and strength we possess is all because of God. Thanks turns to praise when we recall that having the activity of our limbs or extremities and mental faculties being in our right mind are precious gifts of God not to be taken for granted. Amen. Thanks turns to praise when we can testify unabashedly and unashamedly that if it had not been for the Lord on our side. Thanks turns to praise when we remember and merely just think about the goodness and the greatness of God. Thanks that turns to praise is not just about feelings, but about the facts. I like the story about a chess match between God and Satan over two millenniums ago. The eternal match opens with a pawn move. God puts the human race in the Garden of Eden. Satan counters by coming as a serpent and deceiving the family of God. God moves and tells the snake that one would come that would crush his head. Satan counters by coercing Cain to kill Abel. God moves again and calls Abraham and Sarah, telling them to go to a land that God would show them and that God would make them a great nation. Satan counters by placing that nation in bondage. God moves by delivering the Israelites out of Egypt. Satan counters by having the people build a golden calf while Moses is on the mountain with God. God moves by allowing them to wander in the wilderness and leading them into the promised land. Satan counters by making them ask for a king. And like the other nations, rejecting the leadership of God. God moves the kings to build a temple and lead in the service of God. Satan counters by leading the people away from God. God moves again by sending prophets to show the people the right way back to God. Satan counters by allowing the nations to overturn the kingdom and destroy the temple. God moves by sending more prophets, getting rid of the Babylonians and letting the people come back and rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. Satan counters by making the people go astray. They defile the temple. They turn away from God and persecute the prophets. God then contemplates the next move. 100 years pass and God just waits. 200 years pass and God still waits. 300 years pass and God still waits. 400 years pass and God decides to move God's king. Our thanks is not just based on feelings. It's not just based on something that's fleeting. It's based on the facts. God decides to send the king. That king is God's son. God moves God's king. Satan counters by putting the king on a cross. Satan leans back in his chair and smiles and says, check. They hung him high. You know the story. They stretched him wide. And Satan said, check. They pierced him in the side. And Satan said, check. He hung his head and died. And Satan said, check. And God sat there just looking at the board all day Friday. Yay! Looking at the board. Yay! All day Saturday. Yay! Looking at the board. Yay! All day Saturday night. Yay! Looking at the board. But 12:01, yay, early, yay, Sunday morning, yay, he got up with all power in his hand. Before the birds began chirping, before the fragrance could be smelled on the rose, God raised his son from the grave. And when thanks turns to praise, you can't help yourself. You've got to turn back and throw yourself at the feet of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm an AME. And we just came out of a general conference. When we open a service and when we close a service, we sing this doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, praise Son, and praise the Holy Ghost. If God has ever done anything for you, you gotta turn around and you gotta lay back and say thank you, thank you, thank you. You've been so good and you've done so much. Thank you. If you never did anything else for me, I still say thank you, because you're a good God. You're a mighty God. You do sit high and you look low. You have not abdicated your power. You are still in control of your world. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.